What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Avi DeBeer is the Vice President of Business Development at FTX. In this conversation, we talk about the various sponsorships that FTX has been doing across sports and many other industries. I did this interview along with my brothers Joe and John, and we had a great time talking with Avi. I hope that you enjoy it. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the top spot for all of your sports betting, casino, and poker needs. It's available on your computer, your tablet, or your mobile device. BetOnline accepts Bitcoin and more than a dozen altcoins to make deposits and withdraw your winnings. There are no crypto fees, processing only takes minutes, and transactions are 100% anonymous and secure. Head over to betonline.ag and sign up today to receive a 100% crypto bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code POMP100 to get started. Discover why everyone is saying BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager with crypto for sports, casino games, horse racing, poker, and more. Sign up today at betonline.ag and double your deposit with our exclusive podcast promo code POMP100. Go check them out at betonline.ag. Today's episode is brought to you by Copper. Since 2018, Copper has been at the forefront of institutional digital asset development. From award-winning custody solutions to creating the first truly off-exchange settlement function, Copper pioneers technology, products, and services in lockstep with a rapidly changing world. No other infrastructure provider covers as many assets across as many exchanges with the speed and security that Copper can offer. To learn how Copper helps the world's largest institutional investors secure their digital assets, head over to copper.co. Again, Copper, the unfair advantage. Check them out at copper.co today. This episode is brought to you by Bullish. Bullish is a powerful new digital asset exchange built for institutions that delivers the innovations of DeFi in a regulated environment. The Bullish Hybrid Order Book pairs the high performance of a traditional central limit order book with the automated market making. Powered by deep Bullish liquidity pools backed by the multi-billion dollar Bullish treasury. So you can trade with certainty and at scale across variable market conditions. You can learn more at bullish.com or follow Bullish on Twitter because the future belongs to the Bullish. Now, this is not investment advice. Digital assets and cryptocurrencies are high-risk products. Consult your professional advisor before dealing in them. Bullish's services are available in select locations only and not to U.S. persons. Visit bullish.com/legal for important information and risk warnings. Go check them out at bullish.com or follow at Bullish on Twitter. All right, let's get in this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
We got a special treat today. Avi from FTX has joined us. Avi, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me here. Nice to meet you, Anthony, Joe, John, right? I got that right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You're good to go. So what is your exact role at FTX?
I'm Vice President of Business Development at FTX. So I handle a lot of our sports partnerships, but as well as doing some interesting things in real estate as well. But the end goal is really just how do we take this great platform we have at FTX and, acquire more users and also provide more benefits to businesses, whoever that might be.
All right. So the real estate part sounds interesting. But let's start with sports maybe first.
Sure.
So in my mind, you guys have been like the leaders in this category, right? Everyone laughs. Now crypto is all over the sports industry, whether it's leagues, teams, individuals, whatever. But you guys really started this. It started with the Miami Heat Arena here, and you've done a bunch of other deals since. What is the thought process originally behind your involvement within sports specifically?
Yeah, I mean, so much of what happens at FTX is just, you know, Sam creates like such an open, and Brett, or the president of our US business, just creates such an open environment for people to just throw out like crazy ideas, right? And I think you want that at any company, especially when it's young and it's growing. And, you know, the way it really started for us is we were on a company all hands call and a bunch of people were just throwing out ideas, and someone threw out the idea of, oh, we should do like an arena. And, you know, I had previously worked at the NBA, and so I kind of like raised my hand. I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can look into this. And this was in January 2020. And then, like, you know, I started looking into it, starting getting some more momentum just internally as well. People are like, oh, okay, this is cool. Let's do this. Talking to a handful of teams in cities, right? Because the governments, local governments are involved as well. And we kind of identified Miami as like, oh, this is really interesting. You know, great market, super like multicultural, great team. You know, and this was also around the time where like crypto buzz was like growing here in Miami. And then, you know, honestly, 3 months later, things just kind of snowballed and we had this arena. Like it happened so fast. Tons of credit to Miami-Dade County and Mayor Cava and her staff, like to get comfortable with crypto. Like it wasn't easy. No one had really done crypto deals. So
let's stop there for a second. Like, how does this deal actually work? Miami, the Heat deal specifically, right? Because yep. I think that the arena, I don't know if it had been no, like a vacant name sponsor for a couple of years, I believe, right? Yep. But like, how does this work? How do you approach them? How does it get negotiated? All of that type of stuff.
Yeah, you know your history. So, American Airlines, I think, was a vacant partner for the last 2 years, right?
And what does that mean, vacant partner?
So their deal ended, and for 2 years, they technically didn't have a naming rights partner, but they left the signage up, right? Because it cost money.
You need a name.
Case cost money to take it all down, too, right?
So and they hadn't sold the name yet.
They hadn't sold the name, so they didn't have a new partner. And I think this is public, but I think there's the county also, there's some stipulation in their agreement with the Heat where they may owe some funds or some services in exchange if there's no naming rights partner, right? So, you know they really wanted to get a new partner and we kind of came in at the right time. And, you know, you kind of add on the fact that this was during COVID where, you know, a decent amount of, live event businesses were short on revenue. I think kind of opened up the door, right? And that sort of opened up the door where we could have the conversation with Mayor Cava and Miami-Dade County as well as the Heat. And then they spent a lot of time getting comfortable with our business. It required a lot of just financial due diligence, a lot of education. And they took the time to learn. Honestly, that's why I give them a ton of credit for that. And to get approval from a local government plus the Heat and the NBA, who had their own diligence teams looking into this, really sort of validated not only just FTX, but the cryptocurrency industry in general. And things kind of just snowballed from there, right?
And on the due diligence piece, I think I remember seeing a quote from Sam that was like, you know, they questioned if crypto was going to be around in years and if he was going to be able to pay for these things. And he was like, not to sound completely absurd, but we could pay for it today if we needed to. Is that part of the process? You're like, just look how much money we have on our balance sheet. Like, it's not a problem.
I mean, they have our financials, right? Yeah. And we did disclose that and share that confidentially. And there are ways to structure these deals in a way where, you know, you can front load some of the funds, right, to provide some more comfort. And the deal is public, right? So anyone can really go and look up what the deal terms are with the county.
And why do you think that they sat for 2 years without a sponsor?
That's a good question. Sort of all that predates really my involvement. And really, I don't even know if FTX was really in a position where we could acquire an arena at that point. But I think it could be a multitude of reasons. You know, American Airlines, airline businesses probably took a little bit of a hit during COVID. That could be one reason. I'm just purely speculating here. I have no...
what is like, once you go ahead and you get the naming rights, what else comes with it? Because I see that there's usually people FTX related courtside. I went to the game on Monday night and all of a sudden they have like 16 kids basically like run out. They're doing the half court shot. A
kid crypto hits chaos.
It. Yeah. A kid hits it, goes wild. I'm like, what just happened? And all of a sudden it pops up like $5,000 in crypto. I'm like, oh damn, that kid's about to go party his face off.
Well, we went to the season opener too. And I think you guys gave, it was like $500 to every person in a specific section if they downloaded the app, right? Yep. So I'm assuming there's a bunch of activations.
So like, how does this work? Or like, what are some of the things you guys are doing inside of the stadium other than just the naming rights?
Yeah. Great question. So there's really two deals. Like there's one with the county, which is the naming rights. And then there's a marketing partnership with the Heat who help activate the arena space.
So the Heat are responsible for what happens in game.
Related to the Miami Heat. Yes. Correct. Part of it is hospitality, right? Where you entertain guests, you know, we could do giveaways and whatnot for win a ticket to a Heat game, things of that nature. Every game, we have a lucky seat and lucky row where we give away cryptocurrency for downloading the app to the people in those spaces. Now we've recently added Crypto Chaos, which is like, I don't know if you guys remember that game, like Knockout. It's kind of Knockout-ish.
Yeah, that's what they're playing.
Yeah, like everyone's just heaving half-court shots.
It was chaos. and like five grand.
it's so fun. I mean, it's one of the most, like, I love that part of the game, right? Because the whole arena is cheering for these people to make this shot. So we've added that element to it. You know, we also have a partnership where we're able to sort of leverage Heat assets, and whether that be like in social media promotions. We did an NFT drop recently with the Miami Heat around the mashup jersey. So really excited about that. There's a space called the FTX Token Lounge, which we've actually created and turned it into an NFT gallery. It's a way for people to enter into the arena. We just launched that like a week ago. Would love to have you guys come by at some point. You know, we got LED screens, you know, we got some printouts on the hallway entering in, but really just trying to meet the fans where they're kind of already at through, you know, cryptocurrency, NFTs, and blockchain technology, rather than try and like force it on them.
How do you measure success? Like, all right, so you guys go spend this money. It's obviously cool. People see it, you know, on the screens, whatever. Do you guys measure like, hey, how much do we get from downloads or volume? Or is it just like, we think it works and let's figure it out? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I think there's multiple pieces to like how you measure success here. You know, one, like the obvious one is straight up, you know, conversion, right? How many people in Florida download the app or around the Miami area, download the app, register, deposit, trade, you know, there's that standard sort of funnel that's very easy to track. But there's this intangible element that's a little bit harder to quantify. And right, and that's just generally like, you know, when I go have a conversation with a real estate developer, and they're like, that conversation is easier because they've seen FTX at the arena.
It's legitimacy.
Yeah, it's trust. It's you know, legitimacy. You know, same thing when it comes to any of our team's business development endeavors, right? If you're a trader that's, you know, at an institution and like, oh, cool, like I've already heard of FTX because of FTX Arena, or I saw your Super Bowl spot Larry David, or the MLB umpire patch. Like, it's just building trust and value through brand association. But we have to deliver on that trust and value. Like, that opens up the door. But, you know, we need to help them step through that door and then make sure they have a good time when they're in the room with
them. I'm assuming that's more off of feel than it is actual numbers, right? That's probably pretty difficult to quantify.
Totally. It's, and, you know, we see it because, you know, we hear people be like, oh, I love your Super Bowl commercial, or, you know, I had a great time at the Heat game, you know, last night, or I can't help but see the FTX on the MLB patch, like every time, every pitch.
How did the Larry David commercial come together? Like, obviously, I have a theory, but I want to hear kind of how you guys came up with that and how that came together.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a really good article written. I can't remember the publication. It might be the Times, but I don't know.
It's probably the Best Business Show.
Yeah, that's right. The Best Business Show. I think they had the best theory on it. But, you know, we have some really good agency partners that are super creative. And, you know, we also have some great folks internally on the marketing side. They're just great at, like, you know, explaining what FTX wants. And what FTX really wants is, like, we're trying to just be some, like, playful, inviting, and just like, hey, like, we're here when you're ready. Like, that is our very much our approach to sort of doing our marketing and advertising. And, you know, Nathaniel on our marketing team is a super key component of our brand messaging, and, you know, another colleague of mine, Sina.
Both fantastic.
Yeah, both great guys, super smart, and just really get our brand. And, you know, they really spearheaded that and pulling the right people and teams together, you know. And then when we saw the script, we were like, this script is awesome. And then we're like, we have to get Larry David, right? And then, you know, the teams went to work to try and, I don't know if that commercial works if it's not Larry David, right?
Yeah.
And just small sort of teaser, Sam's dad is also in that commercial.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little
Easter
egg.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, Sam's dad, is very involved with, I think it's a foundation, right? Yep. There's a pretty big philanthropic effort that's going on.
100%. We recently had a FTX Foundation hackathon at the FTX Arena, where we gave away, we awarded $1 million in prizing for high school students that were building businesses in sort of like the tech space. So we're really excited about that. And, Joe Bankman leads a lot of that for us, as well as we have a lot of other initiatives around climate and that the foundation is super focused on just the whole idea of effective altruism and, making the world a better place.
What's going on with F1? Mercedes, you guys, I know, sponsored the team.
Oh, man. I love F1, right? Like, Drive to Survive has gotten so many of us Americans, pulled into the sport. And it really is a team sport all the way from, engineering these cars to executing on race day. So we are a Mercedes Formula One partner. They've been awesome. This year has been pretty interesting so far. Last year was, I'm biased, but I didn't agree with the results.
Hamilton didn't either.
Yeah. But the guy's a true professional, man. The fact that he's back and in that seat and ready to go again is super impressive. But we're planning to have a pretty big event here in Miami for the Miami Grand Prix. That's May 6th through 8th. We'll be announcing that pretty shortly, but expecting a lot of people to come through, doing a lot of activations around just other Mercedes partners, our partners involved, just trying to bring together a whole community of people building cool things together to celebrate that all. And it's going to be big. I wish I could share more details.
How much money have you guys spent on marketing?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Just ballpark. Are we talking 500 million, a billion?
Well, some of these deals, like
let's do committed, right? Because they're multi-year deals, right?
Right. Committed. I'd say over 500. Yeah,
over 500 million. Have you crossed over a billion? You think?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, because what the arena deal is how much?
In total, if you consider the heat and the arena portion of it, close to 200.
Yeah, so that's 200 of at least 500.
And that's a 19-year deal, So
We're committed. Part of this is when you do the committed, you could look at this, it could be over 20 years, literally.
Right.
So $500 million is a huge commitment. What was the Major League Baseball? Is the umps a one-off or is it part of a bigger deal?
It's part of a bigger deal. So we have a lot of other components that, the patch is so visible, right? Which we love. But there's so many other components to it. Last season we had this campaign called Moon Blasts. So every time someone hit a home run over a certain, I think it was 400 or 425 feet, then it was considered a moon blast. And so that was branded on social media, FTX Moon Blast. So there's that entire element of it. We have some additional.
That's a very FTX type thing to do.
And you had the guy at the playoff games.
Yeah,
had
the Moon Man.
They literally had someone show up with a costume at the games, and he was
and
the Moon
Man. We planted him behind the umpire in the stands and with this giant head.
You could see him fantastic. Right in the screen every game. It was amazing.
There's Moon Boys on Twitter, and then there's Moon Blasts in baseball.
So, how did the individual deals work, right? Because you've done a bunch of those also with Tom. Someone in the chat asked if you personally know Tom Brady. Yeah.
I personally do not. I've met him. Great guy. Excellent smile.
Great hair, great face.
Yeah. It's some of these people you meet and they just have this gravitas to them, right? It's just, yeah. And he is that. He's a bona fide superstar. That really came through. So, Cena's a big, he works on a lot of our partnerships with the athletes. And he's done a great job with really, not just, working with Tom, but Giselle, too, is also a partner of ours. And so we're looking to do more things with her.
If you're going to work with the family, you better work with the richer of the two.
Totally. And you keep them both involved together, right? And I think that makes the partnership stronger. And, again, credit to them. They're open about learning. They will say, hey, I'm comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with this. Help me learn about this. And our team who handles those relationships have done a great job.
Is Brady a Bitcoiner?
He is. Yeah. I mean, you've seen those videos he's thrown. There's one video that he made on his own. I mean, his team made where he throws a football into the sky And he's got like laser eyes on it, and the Bitcoin like comes down. So he's.
But it's amazing you guys had nothing to do with that video.
Because I think that that's what those are the partnerships we love, where like you get them excited about crypto and then they kind of authentically take it in the direction that they want to take it. Has been the most successful stuff that we've done.
How do you guys think about, like, you added, I believe, equity part of Tom Brady's deal. Like, how important is that to align incentives with these individual athletes for these marketing deals?
Yeah, great question. Like, these guys have money, right? Like you kind of figure out, like, what gets them excited about partnering with you. And I think that there's, you know, he doesn't need another X millions of dollars more, but if he's got an investment in something, these guys, and they're competitors, right? So like in a way, business is competition, right? And he's kind of aligning himself with FTX, which we love, right? And he thinks and backs us that we're strong competitors. So I think that validates FTX, but also gives him some access to be competitive in this world that he wants to learn more about and compete in.
What about this Stephen Curry? I saw that there's a brand new, commercial or video that you guys put out, and he's like chiseling the ice. And I think Shaq does the voiceover and he's like, tell Shaq stop playing, right? But like when you guys do that type of stuff, how much of that is like they have ideas for the creative versus you guys are like, okay, we're going to do, you know, ABC, here's the scenes. You know, you just got to do your kind of acting role.
Yeah, I mean, they're generally so busy, right? Like, so it's when it's hard to get their time. So when you have it, like, you want to have a plan as to what you want to do. So we have a plan, right? We have a script. We're like, hey, here's the theme. You know, we keep them, Steph and his team, involved throughout the entire process because they got to be comfortable doing it. If it's not authentic to your brand, like, they're not going to do it. And this, I think this last spot, the Not an Expert spot is really authentic to him because like he's interested in crypto but doesn't know a ton about it but wants to, right? And that makes it approachable. And I think that aligns with what FTX's sort of ethos is. It's like, hey, like we're here when you're ready, or like come to us to like learn. And you know, you're not alone in this process, right? Like, you know, Steph, like arguably, you know, the best basketball player on the planet, is successful at so many things, but here's something that he is not the best at, but he is willing to admit that and say he wants to learn and come with us on that journey is really
David important. Schwab did that deal?
I'm not sure. He works at Octagon, so maybe, yeah.
Yeah, he did? Yeah. All right, yeah. Look, he'd be happy we gave him a little shout out.
There we go. Shout out David Schwab.
What else?
I was just going to ask about the real estate stuff. What do you do on the real estate side?
This is my new sort of like excitement and passion right now.
We're in. If you need partners, we're in.
Let's talk, fellas. So we are, we're helping a lot of condo developments, specifically here in Miami, accept cryptocurrency payments for purchases. The first couple that we did is with 11 Residences,
Mark
which
Roberts,
is a PMG property.
Mike Simpkins,
and then also with the Waldorf Astoria. I'm actually going to a real estate event tonight with the Diesel Wynwood Condominiums in Wynwood. So they're now a partner. We've done a partnership with Paramount as well. And I got off the call before here with another big real estate firm that's like people just want, like the interesting thing about right now, it's like, hey, let's accept payments for real estate. And what that really does is, one, you guys know, if you transact in crypto, you're in control. You could do it anytime. You don't have to wait for a wire transfer cutoff. You're in control and it's just infinitely more seamless. And then plus a lot of people in crypto have made money. So if you give them a way to sort of diversify their assets into a asset class like real estate, there's value there. And then sort of the third point is like a lot of international buyers really prefer it. It's just easier to move the money.
Do you wear a suit and tie when you go to these events, or you show up in the FTX t-shirt?
I'm a t-shirt guy. I did bring a blazer. I'm not sure if I'm going to wear it. To be honest, like I brought a blazer to work. I'm not sure if I'm going to wear it or not, but I just brought it just in case. Like
I feel like that's an insurance policy. Yeah. Like that may be one of the industries, that and like lawyers.
Yeah.
Those two together.
So I'm feeling it out. Like I'm definitely wearing sneakers. forget the dress shoes.
What's the process like when a company, a traditional like mortgage company or whatever for loans, is like, hey, we want to start accepting payments in crypto. Like, do you guys just go in and help them set it all up? Like, what's the process like?
Yeah, totally. It's actually fairly easy. Like, we have an agreement that you know, we've sort of templatized at this point. We're just essentially accepting funds, crypto, and then converting it in real time to dollars and then putting those dollars wherever it needs to go, whether that's to the seller or to the title company, right? Like they don't really want to hold crypto. So it's really, the benefit is more so for the buyer. So ease of transaction for the buyer.
How many people actually want to buy using crypto versus the buildings or the building managers want to say they accept it, but they don't actually have an anticipation of people actually buying. I've seen it, cool, because I accept it, but no one's going to do it because of the tax ramifications, et cetera.
Well, the tax, you have to pay taxes regardless, right? So I don't think that's really a deterrent.
Let's say I buy a condo and I buy it in cash, I just pay the sales tax or whatever. But if I buy it in crypto, I have to pay the capital gains on top of the sales tax, etc. Like, that's why I always wonder. I've seen a couple of announcements in Miami, which I'm assuming you guys were involved in, where people bought, you know, some are $5 million, some are $20 million type condo purchases in crypto.
Yep.
I'm like, man, are they really paying capital gains tax on doing it? But I guess, like, if you have 100% of your assets in crypto, like, you have no other choice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of, like, most of them, you know, I think some are international buyers, so it's just easier to transfer. Some people might even be YOLO buying condos, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can, you know, which is a piece of it. You know, I think today it just starts with cryptocurrency payments. But to your point, right? Like, you know, would love to get to a point where, okay, you know, if I have $1 million in Bitcoin, like, can I take out a mortgage against that, right? So then I don't have to sell my Bitcoin, or can I borrow against it in some particular way and, you know, tie that closer to real estate? I think we're going to get there. It's just a matter of when, right? The products just aren't sophisticated. Like, technically, I think we can get there, like, tomorrow. But, like, like regulatory-wise and just, like, you know, smoothing all that stuff over, I think that's really sort of where the hurdle is. And that's a big thing that we're doing at FTX, right? Like, Sam and Brett spend a ton of time in D.C. working with the regulators, like, educating them. Like, we make sure we have all of our licenses. So it's just super important for us to be up to speed and do things the right way. So when we want to offer these cool, fun products that people are kind of used to already, but now put a crypto spin on it, I think is going to be really interesting.
How have those conversations with DC and everything changed over the last year?
You know, I'm not personally involved in them, but like just from like the outside, I think they've gone really, really well. And so much of that is just because, like, you guys know, right? Like, when, okay, you hear about Bitcoin or you hear about any cryptocurrency, but then you like put a little skin in the game, whether it's like $100, $1,000 or whatever, then you start like paying attention to it more and you learn more and you see the use cases. And I think it's just the time and the effort that's been spent has really moved things forward. And I only see like it's just going to trend upward.
Well, it sounds too like when you guys first started doing these partnerships, take the Miami Heat, for example, they were questioning, maybe is not the right word, but interested to see if this industry was going to be here in a decade, right? Yeah. And asking the right questions. And now it's people are coming to you guys to do partnerships, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, our inboxes are flooded. Like, you know, people know, you know, we've spent a little bit of money on some sponsorships. So, you know, we see a lot of interesting things.
What's the craziest thing someone's asked you guys to do?
I saw like a Canadian like curling team was like super just like wacky and just like out there. One of my favorite ones that we've done is we wrote the fortunes for fortune cookies. So if you, and I forget how many, but they're all over the US. So if you go like, you know, you get a fortune cookie from one of these restaurants, it'll say FTX on the back. And Alec, the guy who runs a lot.
Runs our fortune cookie business. Yeah.
Well, how much does a fortune cookie cost sponsor?
He runs our Twitter handles. He wrote all the fortune, like he wrote most of the fortunes.
No way.
So like you
shout out Alec.
That's amazing.
And they're really witty. He did a great job.
So take that for example, right? Because I think a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Whatever. Is it just a branding exercise or like, is there like a QR code that people can scan? And
it's just a branding exercise. You know, you have this, you know, you ordered to like an Asian fortune meal, and you know, you're done with the meal, you crack open the fortune cookie, and you know, you see an FTX logo, and it's like some witty just like fortune around. It's all crypto related fortunes.
Got it.
Like blockchain and crypto related fortunes.
And so when you do that, I'm assuming that there's some kind of analysis on like, hey, we're arbing the potential eyeballs that are going to look at this versus like what it cost. And I always wonder if you were to unleash, you know, like intelligent quantitative people on marketing, which I'll put FTX as, you know, a leader here. It seems like that's really what you guys are doing, right? You're trying to figure out like, what are all the mispriced marketing opportunities in the market? And then you go and you just attack those and you're not scared to kind of do it with conviction.
For sure. That's like at a high level, that is what it is. Like what's sort of like mispriced? I mean, maybe things, I think sports partnerships now are less mispriced for crypto, like because like everything's been bid up. But when we got into it, I think it was mispriced. Not mispriced. That's like it was just like there was an opportunity, like there was value there.
Yeah.
I just got a text from someone. They said, hey man, I'm watching the show and I can say that I've had a few of those FTX fortune cookies from our favorite Chinese place in Chicago.
Good branding exercise.
Exactly. Right. And people tweet them out. So there's like this just natural, like good vibe feeling that comes with that. Right.
Yeah.
And some of that's not quantifiable. Right. But someone cracks that open, sees FTX, feels good about it. Like, maybe they think differently about the
If
brand.
I got that, you know what I would think? I'm like, damn, these guys are everywhere. They're literally infiltrating the fortune cookie industry. I saw Sam at one point was like, I think he was joking, but he was like, maybe at some point we should like start doing things because like the rest of the industry will do it as well. And we'll like throw them off our scent.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to lose money on purpose, I think is what he said.
Yeah. One of these
deals. There's one of the fortune cookies up right now. It says, in retrospect, it was inevitable.
When you guys think about, like, have you guys ever actually considered like, trying to fake out everyone else and like do something that would, you guys put a little bit of money, lose it on purpose and then let everyone else go spend all their money.
I mean, there's definitely some gamesmanship. Yeah,
there's a smirk with that.
There's some gamesmanship that goes along with, you know, anytime there's a counterparty involved. Yeah. Right. So
the fortune cookies are the money losing one.
No, I mean, it's hard to like, I wouldn't, honestly, I think that one's been like, you know,
I actually think that was a really smart. Yeah, I actually think that was really smart. So like what would be, I want to like just sit here and brainstorm for a second. What would be something that you guys could do that would throw everyone else off? Like, I feel like the sports stuff.
Well, we can't reveal it on air.
Trust me. You could definitely say a lot of stuff. You people still follow. No, they're trying to trick us into thinking that it wouldn't work, but it really would work. But it feels like I saw in Miami, right? There was just Ultra. There was a whole bunch of stuff. Yep. And one day I was walking and I just saw like 17 planes all pulling like the banners behind them.
Yep.
And I was like, what are the odds that I can, one, even see any of those, but also two, like I understand what it means. I remember it and I go and it converts. And it's like, it's probably not that much. There's also like the screen that floats in the water.
I see those all the time from my farm.
And it's like, I've seen it over and over and over again. I probably could remember maybe two of the ads I've seen, but then I went and I looked, I was like, how much does this cost? It's like nothing.
Yeah.
Right. It's so inexpensive that I feel like some teams are just like, we might as well do it. And it's just a pure branding exercise, has nothing to do with conversion, but the cost to the impression number is so skewed that you're just like, screw it, whatever. And for those people, they're making money. And so they keep the cost low without, you know, really worrying about trying to price it at the high price point.
Totally. And it's, that's an awareness play, right? Like you're just trying to get people aware of FTX. So then, okay, they see, you know, that boat go by and it's an FTX logo or some quick hit about it. They see the plane go by, oh, FTX. But then when they get to FTX Arena and there's an opportunity to, I don't know, check out with FTX Pay or something of that nature, they go, oh, cool. Like I've seen that brand twice already. Here's for the third time. And this is kind of what they do. Let me now convert, right?
So you want to know what I think you guys should do?
Yeah.
I think you guys should open a bar. If you open a bar in Miami, because there's a ton of young people who have started to move here, right? There's a lot of crypto folks who have moved here, et cetera. But if you make it a fun bar, it then infiltrates into the conversations. And what ends up happening is it's kind of like a club or some of this other stuff, right? It becomes the center of people's social life.
Right.
And once you do that, like you win.
Well, you could probably make money doing it too. Yeah.
not a negligible amount
in the grand scheme of things, but
even if $500 million. Even if you did things like, you know, hey, if certain times there's like FTX, you know, specific events, but if it literally was just like the FTX bar and it was just fun, it was like genuinely fun to go to and people would go there regardless of what the name was.
Right.
You just infiltrate into the social life and like a bunch of 25-year-old kids are like, where are we going to go tonight? Like, oh, every Friday we go to FTX bar.
Yeah.
You just immediately become part of the conversation. And it feels like those are the types of things where like the arena, when people, they're not thinking, hey, I'm marketing FTX, but like, hey, I'm going to FTX Arena.
Correct.
I'm going to the game. There's other things that you could do that are like that. And I don't know what the legal risks are.
Yeah. You guys want to open that bar up with us?
Sure.
Like, let's do it.
Sure. I'm being dead serious.
No, I'm not saying.
I've been complaining too.
Yeah. We'll find someone to operate it. But
I've been complaining about the bars in Miami too.
Perfect. We have street research.
Yeah. I'll stick to R&D.
I am out.
We're not in if you're running it.
If John's the general manager,
you guys aren't even making money.
Well, I don't know. That's the problem. Yeah.
I think we may not make money.
I know you. You and all your friends will be there all the time, and then we won't make any money.
My friends will be paying covers to get in. and they'll be downloading the FTX app as well.
I love it.
Have you guys sponsored college athletes?
We have, yeah. So we did, we've done a couple of teams and a couple of players. I think we've done the UCLA women's basketball team, a softball team in Florida, the Kentucky men's basketball team.
Yep.
So we experimented in the NIL space. I think it's interesting and there's definitely value in there, especially because so many of these athletes want to, build their brand and like they also learn about it and they're also really good at it, right? They're natively just good at social media. But there are some challenges and those challenges are just like, you know, they're still college students, right? Their main focus is, going to playing basketball, like playing sports. going to class.
Nah, man, let's just call it spade a spade. Like, they got to play sports order. And they want to party. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, like it's still hard. Like I remember when I was like, 19, 20, when it's hard to get people to do things. But some of them are great and totally get it. I think there needs to be a little bit more structure in that space and it's going to come. And there's some platforms out there that have been really helpful in helping sort of put the plan out there, but I think there's a lot of value there once that gets sorted out and figured out.
Yeah. If you really think about it, if you're like an enterprising, 18 to 22 year old and you're good at your sport, you could make an absolute bag right now. Cause there's so much capital that it feels like everyone's like that market's going to be big and I need to get there early.
Yep.
And they don't know really kind of what the cost should be. They don't know how effective it is. Like there's a lot of kind of fragmentation. And so if you actually have a big following, if you're well known, and you understand business, like you probably could make a couple million bucks a year.
Most people don't have agents either, right? Which is one piece of it.
Yeah, so but they have like somebody looking after their like.
Yeah, they got their brother or their mom.
But the deal is, my point is they're much less structured, right? They're not nearly as.
Is it worse to call up a college athlete and him be like, okay, I've got an agent that works at, CAA or whatever, or to be like, yeah, my mom handles my deals. Which one are you like, damn?
I feel like I'd rather deal with the agent.
Right?
Yeah. Like, even if I got to pay extra, it's like, let's just deal
with
the
agent. Imagine if our mom was like our agent and she'd be like, my boys are worth so much more. Right? Like every mom would be that
way. Joe needed to post this yesterday. Why didn't he post? He'll post it when he wants. That's literally what would happen.
That's great.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It just feels like when there is fragmentation, sometimes actually the fragmentation is bad, right? Yep. Because actually that you want the kind of, we talk all the time about the Miami apartment scene is completely different than New York. Like in New York, the landlords are on it. They know exactly what the deal is. There's laws, there's regulations. You can't raise rent too much, like all this stuff. In Miami, there are multiple friends we know where they're like, we're raising rents 30%. And you're like, you can't do that. Like, we can do whatever we want. And you're like, all right, I want to go back to the structure.
It's free. It's a free for all.
Yeah. They show you comps. You're like, that's from two towns over. You're like, what? That has nothing to do with my apartment.
the one that I keep seeing on Instagram, there's an apartment in one of the buildings on, that's Brickell Avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's like a $50 million apartment. And all these like real estate Instagram accounts went and took a tour. There's a video that they all keep using. And it's got an indoor pool. It's got all this stuff and everything. And I always just think of like the landlord sitting there being like, well, if they're selling $50 million apartments down the street, then my thing is worth, at least $1 million. Like, that's not how this works. They have an indoor pool. You have a pool on the roof that sometimes is open.
100%. It's a little wacky out there for sure in the real estate market. And, I think doing stuff with crypto and maybe bringing a little bit more transparency through that can be really beneficial.
How long have you lived in Miami?
8 months.
8 months. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Where did you come from?
So I'm kind of all around from upstate New York, school in Boston, then San Francisco, Los Angeles, and then now here.
Oh, smart move.
Yeah. Yeah.
you like it? Are you staying?
Yeah. We love it in Miami. We just bought a house. So
yeah, smart move.
It's a good place. things are happening.
We went to LA for the Super Bowl and we were trying to figure out where the 52% of your income was going. We thought there'd be flying cars. We thought, you know, the weather's great. Don't get me wrong, but
for sure. It's a nice place to visit now.
Yeah.
The part that cracks me up when people come to Miami is like, it's one thing when people from Miami go somewhere else, like, oh, this is like a little off for whatever reason. But when people come here now, I feel like they're just like, damn, this is what freedom looks like.
Yeah.
Right. And like, they're talking about everything from, you know, pandemic related stuff to the economy, to just the way that the local government feels to be encouraging local business, like all this stuff. And it makes you actually thankful, like grateful, like, you know, most people didn't move here with their eyes wide open. Like that's why they were moving. But once you get here and you get into it, then you're like, oh, okay. Like this is where I want to be.
Totally. I feel like in Miami, there's not really rules. They're like guidelines. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can follow them.
The mayor's like, shit.
You can follow them or not. But like, I feel like most people, you know, if you treat them like adults, they'll behave like adults.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's like this general mutual respect. So yeah, I think that's been really refreshing.
I completely agree with that. Before we let you go, where can people go? Like what would be helpful to FTX? Or like, how are you guys want to help people that are watching this?
Yeah. I mean, thanks for that. I would say, you know, follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, FTX.us. If you want to open an account, you know, come, if you're in Miami, you know, come to our event, which we'll be announcing for the Miami Grand Prix. I think we'll be announcing next week, but you know, excited and opening that up to anyone and everyone.
Somebody suggested also you should do FTX barf bags on the airplanes. I was like, I don't know if that's good or bad,
it's probably cheap relative impressions, but not the look you're probably going for. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever thrown up on a plane. Like,
I don't think those get used that much.
To be honest, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is I bet you no one's ever done an advertising deal inside of the plane, but like, you're just sitting there staring.
Right.
Right.
Well, you can do that. The airbag comes down. And you're like, let me check FTX first.
Well, Michael Saylor did say Bitcoin was oxygen. So like,
you know what? I always see the Marriott Bonvoy commercial play before like every movie that I try and watch.
Well, they do the credit card ads. I mean, they literally go down the aisle trying to sell you a credit card. No, and it's only rewards they talk about. It's not like what the APR is and stuff.
We have a 27% APR, but don't listen to that. Yeah. You get 500 airline points.
You can go to Cancun for one night.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. This is fun. It was really fun.
We're going to bring you back after you guys do something else crazy.
Sure, when we open that bar, we could do this live.
We're going to message you afterwards. We're going to figure out how to do the bar. John is going to find the GM and we'll be in business.
Sounds great, guys.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're looking to try to transition to get a new job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, we've got you covered. Head over to pompscryptocourse.com. We've developed a curriculum with the top teams across the industry. It's a 3-week intensive training program with over 50 events packed into that 3-week time period. Go to pompscryptocourse.com to learn more, and I'll meet you guys for the next episode.